Thanks for listening to the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight, 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
With Steve DeSager.
Oh, I tell you, the budget for this show is through the roof. I'll tell you. It was extra money to have our voice guy come in and voice that tonight to get Steve
DeSager. He's not cheap, you know.
No, it's a tight shirt. I get it, man. It is a look, this is a rough and tumble business, man. We're day to day here.
You remember that one time we tried to get him to do an alcohol read for us?
It didn't go very well.
It did not.
You know, for a second, I thought you just turned the levels on yourself down and did it instead of playing a drop.
That means I'm good, dang it.
Yeah. The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon. Yes, Steve DeSager is in for Mike Harmon tonight. Blue Emu Maximum Pain Relief works fast and you won't stink. It's pharmacist recommended. Odor-free pain relief for muscle pain, backache, strains, sprains, or even arthritis. No stinging or burning involved. It's simple pain relief. Blue Emu Maximum Pain Relief works fast and you will not stink. So we're going to get to in a couple minutes. I'm going to give you the argument that I would make about playing college football in the fall. But the first thing I want to say, Steve, is that this is what I'm waiting for, because this is what's going to be make many people pull their hair out. And I shave my head.
Not that first couple of minutes of the hour. That's not going to do it.
No. It's going to be something completely with a bigger deal.
Okay.
Is that,
by the way, all the baseball's final. Giants win in 10 innings. And most shockingly, no errors tonight.
No!
Stop the presses, for crying out loud. All right. Now you may continue.
So the big question now is going to be eventually, all right, the Big Ten and the Pac-12 are going to lay out their arguments why they are pushing college football to the spring. And they're going to trot out many doctors and medical advice that says this is why we can't play right now.
The idea of college football to the spring. There is no schedule out for, hey, on February whatever, we're playing, you know.
Exactly. Yeah, hey, Ohio State, Michigan's now February 11th, all right? So get your tickets. It's going to be really cold.
Bring your Valentine.
Yeah, but to talk about if we play in that early in the spring, game-setting records for coldest games ever, oh, we're going to have that.
Minnesota has an outdoor stadium in the Big Ten, just for the record.
Every game is going to be the Freezer Bowl, the 1981 AFC Championship game with the Bengals and the Chargers.
Still wanted to play, did you?
Yeah. So you're going to see the doctors and medical experts that are going to be trotted out, and they're going to say this is why it's too unsafe to play college football. And then the other part of it is then going to be that the SEC and the Big 12 and the ACC that want to play, they're going to have their doctors that are going to say it's okay to play. And everybody went crazy over the Duke medical advisor today saying, people can play. And as Pete Futak joined us earlier in the show, our college football insider, it got retweeted and thrown out there so many times because there's one guy who says, hey, I see why they can play. And this is where everybody is going to look at and go, see, here's a doctor that said we can play.
That was half his quote, of course.
Why can't we listen to this guy? This is the guy that says it. Anytime you're looking for an answer that is against the grain, and that's what the college football conferences are trying to do to try to play in the fall, you're just going to keep going until you find somebody that's going to say something you agree with.
It's just like Arnie Spanier's sports picks on the weekend here at Fox Sports Radio. It's just, it's no good, but it just continues until maybe he comes up lucky once.
So that's how it's going to go, and that's going to be something that fans' heads are going to explode, because it's going to be, well, we have doctors here saying it's too unsafe to play, and then here are these doctors saying, yeah, you could say it's safe. No matter what, there's and what we've seen in the country now over the past few months is that two sides of the same story. There can be an absolute truth. It's either safe or not safe to play, but it doesn't matter. There's going to be two sides of it. All right? So we can say, so that's going to be a very difficult thing to be able to try to go forward with as well. We have these doctors saying this, but we have doctors that say this. The conferences are going to try to make a big push forward. Whoever gets the majority conferences on their side, that's the way it's going to go. There's three Power Five conferences left. And whichever side has three Power Fives to it, that's the way college football is going to go. If the Big 12 decides, We want to play in the spring. And all sources right now point to the fact that the Big 12, the ACC, and the SEC all want to play. Right?
So let's
with current plans to play. Let's just say one of them says, you know what, not going to do it, we're going to go to the spring. Well, then everybody's going to go play in the spring. And we're not going to have college football in the fall because two Power 5 conferences, when everybody else is pushing at the Mountain West, pushed to the spring, you're going to see other smaller conferences pushed to the spring as well. Are you really going to have a college football season where you're talking about two conferences, the SEC and the ACC, or the SEC and the Big 12 if the ACC says they want to go play in the spring, right? So, but conversely, it's going to be if all three want to play in the fall, well, you know what? They'll play. They'll try to get some schools from the Big 10, from other conferences. They're going to, you know, push here and say, hey, you know, we got 50 schools wanting to play football. So this is what we're going to do. We're going to have a schedule. We're going to play and have bowls and our own national championships, and it's going to be the schools that postponed out in the cold.
Just college bowls.
Football. Okay. Maybe we have the bowl. Maybe he makes enough money and he sponsors a bowl. We have the bowl.
There you go. That could happen,
that
actually. Oregon would play, of course.
Oh, of course Oregon would play. Yes, the bowl would be one of the more sought-after bowls to get into. Sponsored by a ramen bowl. You can have, you know, you have the ramen bowl. You know, you could have the, like, the Yoshinoya bowl. Bowl.
There you go.
Right? Yoshinoya partners with bowl. The Yoshinoya bowl.
I don't know. The bowl.
Wow,
bowl.
I gotta write that down.
This is a very skinny basketball player. Not exactly the build of the football players who would be involved playing in the bowl. Do you remember when Woody Allen would sit courtside at the Knicks game seeing Manute Bol play basketball, his dad? He actually said at one point, you know, it's probably cheaper for that team because they don't have to take him on road trips. They can just fax him from town to town. He's a skinny player, his dad. And now the kid.
That's why you partner with Yoshinoya. Hey, eat Yoshinoya. You gain more weight.
Very good. Yoshinoya, sure.
Bowl. We have that. That works out.
What I don't want to hear is what you're leading to of possible football in the spring semester, let's put it that way, and then somebody, you know, somebody's going to say, hey, I got an idea. There's no bowls this year. Let's just start the college football season on New Year's Day. This would be killer. Okay, on paper, that would be great, like baseball on July 4th, which didn't happen for other reasons. But it's not like, and many people, including some we've interviewed, had said this, it's not like the virus just got better yesterday. Like, things changed that much. They're pushing this to the spring semester because it's so uncertain now. You have to be, therefore, a little more certain in the spring semester to pull the trigger and say, yeah, we're going to do this.
Twitter at How About a Fresca, phone number 877-99 on Fox. I mean, that's just it's going to go very simply. Whichever one gets three, the majority, that's how it's going to go. But if you want to be able to play in the fall, this is the argument I would use to say this is where you can play in the fall and why we can play football in the fall. This is what I would say if I was the SEC, the ACC, the Big 12. And clearly, the ACC is, of the three schools, the ACC is kind of the one that's going to look around and say, well, what do you guys want to do? The ACC is going to wind up being the key because it looks like the SEC and the Big 12 are leading the charge to play in the fall, where the ACC is kind of like, I don't know. I go over here. Hey, ACC, come over here with us. I don't know. No, ACC, come play with us. I don't know. ACC is going to wind up being the key because they're going to be the one that's going to tilt it one way or the other. But this is what I would say. Say I had to convince teams to come play in the fall, like the ACC, whatever it is. I would say these following things. The first thing I would say is, listen, I understand all the concerns about college football. I get it. I get why people are nervous right now. I get why the Big Ten postponed. I get why the Pac-12
postponed. They're legitimate, sure.
But there's no guarantee things are going to get better until we get a COVID-19 vaccine or some kind of treatment that can really keep this at bay. There's no guarantee. I'd like to think it's going to happen, but there's no guarantee. We could be here in a few months in the same spot. Look at what happened in March. We thought by the middle of the summer, we'd be flattening the first wave and we would have beaten COVID-19, but we haven't. A lot of it is our fault because we haven't been able to social distance and do the right thing and wear masks, but this is the country and the country can't do it. We're going to be living with coronavirus and COVID-19 until we can figure out a way around it. There's nothing that tells me there's a guarantee it's going to get better. So why postpone the future? Why not try and see if we can play now instead of a season that may not happen? Because anytime you postpone something, you increase the possibility that the event might not happen, right? If you say, you know what, I'm not going to go to the movie. We were supposed to go to the movies series on Friday night. Yeah, but you know what? We're not. Let's go next Friday instead. Well, so many things come up between this Friday and next Friday, you may not wind up going to the movies. Right? Anytime you put an amount of time between something you want to do and where you're at, certain variables can come up, and you might not wind up doing it. So, I mean, I always want to go to the movies, go out to eat. But
well, you talk about what can possibly come back and how. Movie theaters, for crying out loud. How are they going to come back? Because they're going to need more time between movies for more cleaning, right? Which means you're going to have fewer shows and fewer chance to sell tickets. You're going to have to space people out who are attending the movie. Therefore, you can sell fewer tickets to each of the fewer shows that you have. And then you're going to probably have to mandate masks because otherwise people might be sitting on top of the other the way the rows are stacked in some of the theaters. It's just a zoo for that. And that's only one area of public life. We've been talking college. I mean, understandably, we've been talking college football here. But imagine what has to reopen. And so as we do that, and I bring up a general point about society to say, as we do that, please, all of us, don't have it in your back of your mind that, okay, as soon as we get back to normal, put that out of your mind. There is no getting back to normal in the year 2020. It just ain't going to happen. And if you haven't come to that realization by mid-August of 2020, your head's in the sand. Whatever we go back to might be closer to normal, but it's not going to be like things were on, say, March the 9th.
So if that's where we're at, where you can conceivably see, all right, it's going to be really difficult to get better, so let's try to figure out a solution now. Because, like, movie theaters are going to try to find, I would say in the next month, movie theaters will open. It will be wearing masks, it'll be social distancing, it will be they're only going to sell a
certain
number of tickets.
And Mulan will still cost $30.
Yes. I'm not spending $30 for Mulan. Not doing it. Even Zoe, I was like, you want to see Mulan? Yeah, it's $30. She goes, oh, that's a lot of money. Yeah, it is.
So then you're inviting people not to socially distance because you've got to have so many people in your living room to pay for the $30 movie.
But you're going to see movie theaters open. They're going to have to open social distancing, and you will see something where production companies will be okay with it because they got to make some kind of money, even though they're waiting. See, that's the thing. Movies, they're waiting for, okay, we get back to normal and everybody comes to movies and everybody sees it. No, there's going to be a new normal where you're not going to be able to sell as many tickets. So let's just realize that that's how it's going to go.
And whenever they do open, and it's been this thought for many months, the studios aren't going to suddenly say, okay, here's all our big releases. You don't even know what's going to be playing.
Yeah, it's going to.
It's not going to be Top Gun, for example.
No, Top Gun, they're going to wait on that. Tom Cruise will make that decision.
And if we get to an SEC football season this fall, for example, are you going to draw lots on who is going to be the St. Louis Cardinals of the SEC or the Philadelphia Phillies of the SEC? Because football, let's say you only play 10 games, literally only 10 games. And then you wind up having teams that are having to skip games because their previous opponent had so many positive tests or because their own players weren't behaving. It opens up a myriad of possibilities, a lot of them poor. We repeat, it is humanly possible to try this, although we go back to the ACC Medical Board chair. Yeah, it's possible for two teams to meet on the field safely, although it will be tough, expensive, hard, and lots of work, end quote.
Now, that's the next part of my discussion, of my convincing you that this is how you play college football, is that you then tell all the other schools and teams and parents that they're safer with us than they are with you, which I disagree, because the safest place for a kid is going to be at home with his family. But if you can throw out there that, listen, we're all together, we have an eye on the players at all times, all the things they're going to get, great promo that runs with Doug Gottlieb on it, talking about all the different things that college players have at their disposal.
It's a good structure, sure.
Coaches and we have the infrastructure to make sure this is the case. We have everything covered. We can educate them in the classroom. We can support them. We can make sure the right messaging is going to get to them. We're your best option. They can play, fulfill their dreams, have as normal a college football experience they can have. And I would wink, wink, and go, they don't even have to go to classes. Not that they go anyway, but they don't even have to go. No one's going to even say anything about them not going. Those are the two big arguments I would make, is say, listen, there's nothing to say it's going to get better, and we have the best situation in place to deal with everything. And if you say it that way, as long as you can then go with prove the safety and say, we everybody's going to get tested. Players are going to get tested all the time. Now, granted, do they need to get tested all the time if they're staying at home with their families? No, they don't. But at least you know they're getting tests. We're being tested all the time. We are taking care of their safety. You have entrusted your son to us for 4 years to play college football. Continue to trust us that way. And continue to trust us to take care of your son and make sure we can still play college football. He can run out there every Saturday and virtual fans will go crazy for him and we can play. Those are the arguments I will make, and those are pretty good arguments to play college football in the fall. You know, the medical is going to be the big thing, and that's going, but if you can continue to be a school like Michigan and trot out, hey, here's our positive COVID-19 test, and everybody in the SEC says, here, we're laying it all out there. We have all our schools say, zero positive COVID-19 test. What about this school? Zero positive COVID. What about this kind? Then you can play. But if you can make those arguments, you can play college football in the fall, and there'd be many happy. I'd be happy to see college football in the fall if you can pull it off safely. I'm excited to potentially see it in the fall and the spring. You could have a fall season with bowl games and national champions, and then you could have a spring season with bowl games and national champions. I mean, there's no rules. We can do anything we want to. I'd love to see something like that. Just, if you make those arguments, you can play football in the fall.
Once there are positive tests, just don't do like the St. Louis Cardinals did, who have now come out and said, you know what, we came back too soon. We had three whole days of clean test results. And then guess what? Now it's up to 10 Cardinal players and 7 staffers, and the Cardinals are still off. You know, the St. Louis Cardinals are 2-3 for the whole season. Let's put that in perspective. You know how we mentioned earlier Charlie Blackman's betting 500 this year for the Colorado Rockies? Mm-hmm. Producer for the White Sox telecast, Christopher Kamka, came up with this tonight. Charlie Blackman has more three-hit games this season than the Cardinals have games played this season. That's how few games the St. Louis Cardinals have taken the field. This past weekend against the Cubs, postponed. Current series against the Pirates, postponed. Already the doubleheader that was going to be in Detroit Thursday, postponed. They even recently told the Cardinals players, you know, you got 3 to 5 days off. We're not even meeting together. Work out on your own. This is in the middle of a season. A longer season, a 60-game season, not a 10-game weekends-only season like college football.
Twitter at How About a Fresca. Phone number 877-99 on Fox. Jason Smith, Steve DeSager in for Mike Harmon. Hey, coming up next, a visit from Jay Glazer, NFL on Fox insider. What has he seen with college football? How does that extend out to the National Football League? What's the NFL doing that college football could be doing to make things better? What are they doing that baseball should be doing? Great stuff from Jay coming up next. Keep it right here, Fox.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
There's a big takeaway from Jay that once you're able to process this, you get what we're going to get in the fall. There is no way the NFL is not going to try to play in the fall. There is no way. It is. The stakes are different than it is college football. College football is still kids versus professionals who are getting paid millions of dollars over the table. It's much different. And the NFL has moved forward with, we're going to do it, and we're figuring things out. We have a plan. Their plan has been undeterred from the beginning of COVID-19. They have not stopped and paused for anything along the way. They're going to play in the fall. The NFL is going to play. They're going to try to play. What's going to happen during the season? My one concern is, well, we've talked about this. What happens if you have some positive COVID-19 tests and a team can't play a game on Sunday? You got to figure out a way to make up these games. So there's going to be some kind of accordion-type schedule that the NFL has to have ready that, all right, maybe it's we put a bye in every month or we cut the games to 14. Something's going to have to happen where they are able to get past the fact that here's some positive COVID-19 tests, we can't play the game.
And you have to do what the NHL did and pay through the nose through testing, the kind of testing through the nose, so that you get the results quickly and you can send people out on the field of play. I mean, one of the things the Pac-12 talked about in saying, no, we're just not comfortable with sports this fall, is saying our advisors at least anticipate in the next few months to know more about rapid test availability and also to know more about the health effects of the virus, including long-term effects. It's a new virus. We don't know any of that yet, really.
No, but the NFL, I'm confident we're going to have, they're going to try to do it, and
yes,
we're going
right
to go right to the games.
1 month from tonight is, hey, how about the Chiefs last night?
Yeah, we're gonna see games. They're going to try. We're going to go, and hopefully, as the season goes, it can go uninterrupted. That's the big. But college football has always been the one that was the most in danger because it had the most things that could potentially go wrong with it, because you have institutions that value the other student and other things more so than college football, and more so the money that comes in. Not every school makes money as well. There's a lot more factors in college football.
No players union.
Else.
You've got 130 teams instead of about 30 teams. You've got players living on campus with students who are not on the team. There's a lot going on.
Yeah, it was always the one that was most most in danger. And really now we're not in danger. We're still going to have conferences
no central,
to try to play.
No, I'm sorry.
Know?
There's no central authority. And
right.
That has been, my
right,
goodness,
because the NCAA
grossly
can't control,
obvious.
Yeah, the NCAA can't control the conferences, and the conferences can't control the teams if they want to go out and play.
Not
so
in
it's,
football.
You know, it's a very different situation. But it's lend itself to more chaos and lends itself to making it more difficult. But of all the sports, if this is the worst we're getting with the sports trying to come back, that there's one sport that has a couple conferences want to postpone and a few that want to play right away, I think we're doing pretty well. Overall, the year in sports, I think we're doing pretty well.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon. Steve DeSager in tonight for Mike Harmon. And outside of college football, the happenings, two big things coming out of the NBA bubble in Orlando tonight.
That was not one of them.
No. Damian Lillard, 61 points tonight for the Blazers in their win over the Dallas Mavericks. And it's clear the two best teams in the bubble so far have been the Blazers and the Suns. They are battling it out to get in that 8-9 game. And the NBA says we're going to award MVPs in the bubble and all
Please,
kinds of
what
fun
are you doing?
Stuff.
Please.
Woo, this is great. Damian Lillard's your MVP. Hooray. Look how good he was. But if you are the Lakers, they need to talk about this now, because this is where it's coming at. This is great theater, but in the end, whoever gets in is coming in as the 8 seed. They get the Lakers in the first round. If you're the Lakers, I'm okay playing anybody except for Portland. Portland's battle-tested. They're more dangerous than they are hot, because the Suns are just hot right now. You see that? Huh? And you know, Memphis, they're struggling along. And, you know, San Antonio is up and down. The only team that really scares me is Portland. This is a Western Conference final team that can have guys score 32, the backcourt score 30 points each in a game. That would be a lot of problems for the Lakers. That's the one team I don't want. And it looks like they could be the team that move out of it. Now they're in the eighth spot. But there's a lot of ways to go. But that's the one team I don't want to see. If everybody else, I'm okay with. But the Lakers, the Blazers, I'm not.
On the positive side, the Lakers can have, of course, LeBron and Anthony Davis each score 30 in a game. It's as LeBron said last night, and you quoted this, we need Kyle Kuzma to be our third best player. Yeah. He was coming off a game last night where previously he had gone 3 of 14 shooting, and I believe Davis did as well that night. The Lakers had about 5 straight games in Orlando with very poor shooting. They were the only team in the bubble averaging under 100 points a game. This is the top seed in the West, a star-laden starting lineup that we're talking about, and they were doing comparatively nothing offensively. And I repeat, for those who are saying, they'll get it together, really? Because this is exactly how you lose in the playoffs. This is how you get eliminated, by having 5 straight games of shooting like that. So the Lakers finally shot well. And by the way, Kuzma hit the game-winning shot last night. So I think Laker fans in general feel better going into the first round matchup against whomever it is. But I couldn't agree more that if you have a chance to avoid Portland, avoid them.
Meanwhile, what about the night for Giannis? Very upset that Mo Wagner backed into him down low underneath, a pretty dangerous play that could have resulted in Giannis getting hurt. He was upset about it. Also upset he got called for a charge on Mo Wagner in a subsequent trip down the floor. So when Mo Wagner, who really didn't want to back away from Giannis at all, decided to get in his face, Giannis decided to pull a Zinedine Zidane and say, "Welcome to my head."
Giannis and Wagner are still having words, and Giannis is having to be pulled away. On the other end, on the rebound, Wagner kind of put his leg underneath Giannis and knocked him down. And whoa, Giannis gave him a headbutt. Oh my gosh, they may eject Giannis. Mo Wagner probably had it coming, but if you're Giannis and you're the MVP, you can't let Mo Wagner get under your skin like that, because after all, he's Mo Wagner.
Just got ejected.
He had it coming. He had it coming.
Very good.
He had it coming all along.
Just this was got not arrested. Chicago playing, though, unfortunately.
No one got arrested. He just got thrown out of the game.
Got ejected.
Do we have the sound effects of that yet again?
Wow. That was pretty good sound effect. Wow.
It gets very difficult, I'll tell you.
It was a headbutt. It wasn't an accident by any stretch. He leaned his forehead forward and purposely headbutted an opponent. It wasn't straight to the chest like the Zidane reference from the World Cup final that you referenced.
So what is next for Giannis? Well, it's pretty simple. Normally, this would be a multiple-game suspension. However, NBA in the bubble, Adam Silver, first of all, he's never going to do anything to make himself seem like the players can get mad at him. So what's going to happen is this. Instead of multiple games, he'll get the Thursday game that Giannis probably is going to sit out anyway. He'll get a decent fine, and they'll move on. He'll be ready for the playoffs. I would be stunned if Adam Silver suspended him for game one of the NBA playoffs. I'd be stunned with that because he never wants to do it.
And the top seed would be opening against Orlando in Orlando. Home court advantage? I think not.
Thanks a bunch, Steve-O. Great stuff to pass you.
Enjoyed
next,
it.
My friend. Twitter at How About a Fresca. My buddy Ben Maller coming up next. This is Fox Sports Radio.